Genesis chapter 45. When you found that, go to Ephesians 6. Genesis 45 in your left hand, Ephesians. I said 6, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 in your right hand. And Genesis chapter 45. Any of you sad you came to camp this week? Whoever says that, we will have some fun tonight. No, sorry. Genesis chapter 45. How many of you had a... are glad you came to camp? Amen. Let me ask you this. How many of you have been changed at camp? Amen. Amen. Join the ranks, folks. This is a mighty army. This is chapter... You're running with faithful people now. You're running with the right crowd.
Amen.
All right. Holding in your left hand, Genesis 45. Right hand, Ephesians chapter 4. You know these verses. You better have looked at them, memorized them, seen them in devotions. Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. For some of you older, let me just teach you something there. That by your Bible says, let all bitterness... Let me say this. The reason why you're bitter is not because you have to be. It's because you want to be. And the Holy Spirit comes in you and tries to pull that thing away, and you won't let it go. Yeah. Let it go.
Amen.
Good.
Amen.
Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, evil speaking, clamor, and all malice be put away from you. Verse 32 says this. And instead, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. Next three words. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. When that Bible puts an even in there, it's saying, it's unbelievable the comparison that God said, even in the same way as God has forgiven you. Now back to Genesis chapter 45. I want to speak this afternoon on why forgiveness is so hard. Why forgiving is so hard. First of all, forgiveness is a gift. It is not earned. You better learn this. Forgiveness has never been, you've never been able to earn it, and you never will be able to earn it. The Bible says this, the wages of sin, what do you earn when you do wrong?
Death.
Death. But the gift of God is eternal life, and you got it because you are forgiven. The gift of God is eternal life. Forgiveness is a gift. What we earn is hell if we don't get born again, amen?
Amen.
Secondly, about forgiveness, in this old introduction, it is the greatest act of love. Yeah. Somebody says, I just want to show love. If you want to show love, you can forgive your enemy.
Amen.
Now you got love. You can't say you love someone and then hold a grudge against them.
Right.
It's impossible. Sweet and bitter water cannot come out of the same stream and cannot come out of the same mouth either. Third, forgiveness does not really mean forgetting about things. I just forget it. Forgiveness does not really mean just ignoring stuff that goes against you. No.
Amen.
Write this down. Forgiveness, and we were talking about this in the older gentleman's devotions this morning. Forgiveness has forgetting in it, has ignoring, has the ability to cover. But I want you to understand, forgiveness means restoration. Are you listening? Forgiveness means restoration. I know, big word. But it means putting two or against each other back together. That's what it means. Restoring the relationship between two people who were enemies. It means, hey, somebody taking the blame. That's what forgiveness means. If you're ever going to forgive somebody, sometimes you got to take the blame. You may want them to take the blame. But you got to understand, you're going to have to get to a place where you understand that God Almighty looked down at this sinful world and said, if they're going to get forgiven, I got to take the blame. That's what God said. And He did. It's wild.
Amen.
There are four steps of forgiveness. Number one, it begins in the heart. It begins in the heart of the hurt one. It cannot start in the one who's offended you. They aim to hurt you. You can't expect it to start there. It'd be nice if it did, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But forgiveness begins in the heart of the offended one. Secondly, from that point, it has been extended. Forgiveness has been made available to the offended. Joseph was, from the moment that he was down in Potiphar's house. I don't know how long it took. I doubt that he really worked through forgiveness as he was being dragged along as a piece of meat down to Egypt. But once he got into Potiphar's house, he started in his heart of hearts to forgive his brethren. And I know, because I see it 22 years later, I know that he did not harbor in him a grudge so that he think, if I ever meet Judah, that was the one who wanted me dead. If I ever meet him, I'll kill him. He did not have that attitude. He had forgiveness, and if he ever had the opportunity, and later he does, he extended it. Third, it was sought, forgiveness is then sought for. Now believe me, this is this, right? I've had people who've been hurt, and they go, well, I forgive them. Well, that's fine.
That's fine.
But you just robbed them of their responsibility to come and say, I'm sorry. Now, I just went over your head. Follow me. Alright? I really don't like this kid. Keep your foot out just like this. Alright? Like I'm going to like this. Alright? Now, I do that. Now, if he's a real Christian, in his heart of hearts, first thing you ought to do is, he probably didn't mean that. Give the other guy the benefit of the doubt. Then I give him a mean look. Alright? I make sure he knows I did it on purpose. Are you listening? He's like, well, I'm not gonna hold it against him right now. I'm ready to forgive. And if he actually said, now, I want you to see how foolish this is. Stand up. Alright? Now just stand there, don't move. I'm gonna hurt you, but don't move, right? Alright? I come along, and just like in school. Now, what right, how would it be right if he went, oh, I'm sorry. I was in your way. Are you listening?
Yeah.
He's got to have forgiveness here. And he's got to be ready to forgive. But he does not forgive. You must expect this. I'm the one who hurt him. I do need to say I'm sorry. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Alright, forgiveness is four parts. Excellent. No complaints. Good. Give him 100 points. David. Amen. David Linehan. Listen to me. Sought for, forgiveness has to be sought for by the offender. And fourth, the fourth step of forgiveness is restoration, where both parties are back together again. Take your Bible, turn to, hold your place here, Psalm 86. Psalms 86. You say, why'd you go through all that? Because I want you to understand that forgiveness is not easy. Sometimes it's a little complicated. Psalm 86. But you've got to settle something. If you don't get anything else this message, you've got to get this verse. Psalm 70. Did I say 76? 86. Psalm 86. And the best example is our God. Psalm 86 and verse 5. Three words in here just need to jump out at you and you need to circle them. Psalm 86, verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good. The next word, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Is God ready to save the lowest, vilest, most wicked sinner? Yes or no?
Yeah.
In his heart of hearts, he loves those who hate him, amen? But he cannot show love until they have come to him and said, God, I am wicked. Amen? Amen. You got to understand this thing. That's why, when it comes to forgiveness, we try and forgive, and we even go up to somebody who has hurt us and try to say, I'm sorry, and it doesn't work because we don't understand there are two parties involved, and if they're going to be restored, both have to communicate, and one of them has to take the blame. And it shouldn't be the guy that's been hurt, but just keep going, let's keep going. It'd be nice if forgiveness was easy, but it is almost, in my long life, 43 years, has never been easy. Let me show you why it's hard to do so. Why forgiving is so hard. Go to Genesis 45, real quick. We try to move through here fast. Psalm. Genesis 45 in verse 8. Genesis 45, verse 8 to 15. Going to look at some key portions of this with some cross references, and we'll be through. Genesis 45 and verse 8. So now it was not you, Joseph, speaking to his 11 brothers standing before him. It was not you that sent me hither to Egypt. But it was who? But God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph. Can you imagine
The thrill of Dad hearing those words.
Amen.
Joseph is alive.
Listen. Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. And thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, instead of holding a grudge against you, instead of hurt you. I want to take care of you. I want to be a blessing to you. For yet there are 5 years yet left of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it really is my mouth that speaketh unto you. He's speaking in Hebrew, verse 13. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. Now watch verse 14. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Now, if it stopped there, we would have to question, is there really forgiveness in Joseph's heart? Notice who he goes for first. His own direct blood brother. Not his stepbrothers at this point. Yes, he goes for Benjamin. Both of them are embracing, but thank God he doesn't stop there. As soon as they spent there for a few minutes there, just in boiling tears, look at the next verse, verse 15. Moreover, he kissed all of his brethren, and he wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. They were shocked. I bet they just stood there like this. As Joseph just hugged on them and kissed all them and says, I missed you, Judah. I'm glad you didn't kill me at all. And on down the thing. And then like, and after he finished, they went, is it really you? And all of a sudden, the talking and all the pain and everything just starts melting away. Let me tell you why it's so hard to forgive. Number one, hold your place here. We'll come back to it. Go to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. Proverbs chapter 18. And the first reason why it is so hard to forgive is because you're still hurt. You still hurt. After somebody has hurt you, it's hard to forgive them when deep inside you feel a scar. You feel a deep cut. Proverbs 18 and verse 19. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Why would that be? You hurt somebody, it's hard when you're hurting to forgive. Are you in agreement? Yes or no? Talk to me. I know it's hot. A brother who's been offended. 18, I'm looking at the wrong chapter. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. They are not moving. The hurt just won't go away sometimes. And only, oh, if only the pain would go away, it'd be easy to forgive and forget what somebody does to you. But forgiveness is actually, are you listening to me? Think this thing through. You may be hurting, but you will never get over that hurt until you start to forgive, because forgiveness is part of the healing process. Yes.
Amen.
There is no way that a grudge, that bitterness, that evil speaking, that deep. Every time I get around him, I just want to throw up. So every time I get around him, I move into him. I stare at him. I just don't like looking at him. Does that ever do any good for you?
No, sir.
You know, I read this, and I've used this illustration several times, but people get bitter, and somebody once said this, that bitterness is a pill you take. It's a poison pill you take hoping the other guy dies. That's what bitterness is, man. And the healing, the change in you, if you're bitter, the change in you will come when there is forgiveness in your heart. We usually want to make sure, listen, this is what happens when we get hurt. We want to make sure the other person hurts just as much as we hurt. That is our agenda. And your Bible there commanded, he said, even as God, who has been offended, who has been mocked, who has been blamed for everything under the sun, this God who is so blasphemed by this world, that God is able to forgive. Even as he's able to, you can too. I don't care how hard you've been hurt. You can forgive.
Revenge will not satisfy. Even trying to hurt someone just to make them know how it's hurt will not help you hurt. The Bible says forgive them. Listen to this. It says, pray for them to despitefully use you. You ever felt used?
Yes.
You ever felt like somebody just took advantage of you?
Amen.
And then just left you in the dirt? Jesus commanded. He says, you're going to have to bless them, to curse you. I know those are some parts of the Bible we don't normally read and really love, but it's a command.
Yes.
What Joseph's 10 brothers did to Joseph hurt him deeply. It hurt the family deeply. It made them hard and bitter. But Joseph, all those 22 years, loved them still. Time did not dim that love, even though the hurt was still there. I'm not saying that Joseph ever got over the hurt. I don't know if you can get over the hurt. That hurt may still be there. But you got to understand, forgiveness has to be there in a bigger portion. That's why God's grace is greater. You got to understand, some of those words have similar meanings. Grace and love, forgiveness, they tie in. It's impossible for them to exist without the other one. You put up with it. The second reason why forgiving is so hard is because others aren't worthy. His brothers were not worthy of being forgiven. Would you agree?
Yes, sir.
And if I were God, I look at it and says, those birds, they should be dead.
Yes.
We should have to take them and send them. Let's not send them to Egypt. Let's send them to the Congo and let them, you know, back in that time, they were dead serious cannibals. Let's just make some headstones out of them with real heads. Yeah, let's just show them, amen. But you see, God's not like that, and neither should Joseph be. Here, listen to me. These brothers were not repentant. These brothers, for 22 years, as far as they were concerned, Joseph was gone, and they, in their heart of hearts, they never, ever thought they'd ever have to say, I'm sorry. So they never thought about it. It wasn't until they knew their brother Joseph was alive and prince over Egypt that they fell on their face in fear. If they had never met Joseph again, their sinful past would never have been fixed. These guys weren't interested in fixing their lives. These guys weren't interested in getting the sins of their past taken care of. These were unworthy. Now, I like it when somebody, after preaching, goes out there and starts to walk around and they begin to get worried. I don't know if I'm saved. That man of God said that everybody must know for sure where they're going when they die. Everyone must be born again. I don't know if I'm saved. And they start to get a little concerned. I appreciate that. I appreciate somebody going out of here saying, you know, these hands have done some wicked things. These eyes have looked at some wicked things. These feet have gone to some wicked places. And I'm worried. And I don't want to keep doing this. I want my life to be changed. I thank God for somebody who hears the preaching of the Word of God, reads in their Bible, gets in with the devotions, and comes under conviction. But I know this. Most of us don't. So, here's the point. Sometimes people don't come to you and say you're sorry. They're sorry. And your forgiveness is going to have to be based on not whether they're worthy. You listening? But because He forgave you. That's the wildness of this thing. Joseph forgave 10 unworthy brothers. When they were sitting there bound in front of him, he just went, phew. It's over, guys. Don't worry. Third, go to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Matthew 18, 21. Third reason why forgiveness is so hard is because you will have to forgive again and again. You know, Mrs. Perro, we want to just praise God for you and all the ladies, my wife and Michelle and
Gina.
I know Joy has been in there trying to poison you guys. But Mrs. Perro, I can see her coming. We get here on Monday, and she's looking in the cupboards, and she's taking inventory, and she's looking at all the food, looking at the schedule, and there's a psyched-up attitude in that woman for a week of cooking. But bless God, she is mature enough to know that when she feeds you rats, she's going to have to feed you again.
Yeah.
And then she's going to have to feed you again. And then have to feed you again. And you know what? It takes a great woman to say, praise God.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? There's something in the life of character that says, you know what, that rascal, that so-and-so, that Tommy, that Joel, that Eileen, really Eileen, that Mitch Austin, those guys, you know, I forgave them. And you're going to have to, but I'm probably going to have to forgive them again. Are you listening?
Yeah.
Look at Matthew chapter 18. 18:21. This is why we don't like forgiveness, because this, verily I say unto you, Matthew 18, 21, I'm in the wrong verse. Then came Peter to him. Now watch this. And he said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? See, look, they have theological discussions all the time, and Jesus is usually doing the teaching. And Peter goes, can I say something? Oh, Jesus. If my brother sins against me, how many times do I have to forgive him? I think we should do it 7 times. I'm a good guy. Listen to me. You got to understand, the general population of people, you cross them once, and you ain't never getting near them again. You understand?
Yeah.
And oh, and I tell you what, the Jews had a scenario. They had it, and there were rabbis over here, and rabbis over there were arguing. And some of them actually said, well, the attributes of God are holy, holy, holy. And they were trying to, 3 times, let's forgive them 3 times. Peter, being around Jesus, something's rubbing off, and he said, I think we ought to do it 7 times. He feels so spiritual.
Yeah.
Now listen. Verse 22, and Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until, can you add up math? Can you do math there, Peter? Until 70 times 7. 490 times. And you know what? Some of you women will keep count. That was a low blow. Until that was 423. Forgiveness does not expect you will never hurt them again. It actually expects people to hurt you again. And you must be ready to forgive. And then forgive. This is the core of our Christianity. No other system of faith ever operates this way. You've got the greatest thing in this universe that can teach that you can forgive. Look at Luke. Well, this will kill you. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 17, why did I say 13? Luke chapter 17 and verse 3. Luke 17 and verse 3. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, if he crosses you, if he hurts you, rebuke him. Did he say that? Yes, he did. Hallelujah. A rebuke is a spiritual thing. It actually is wanting forgiveness. If you do rebuke, or if you get rebuked, you know what his next step? Restoration.
Amen.
Look at that. Rebuke him. And if he repents, what's the next words? Forgive him. And if he even trespasses against thee 7 times in a, what?
Day.
And 7 times in a day turns back to thee saying, I'm sorry, I repent. Thou shalt forgive. I mean, how many of you like somebody bumping in you 7 times? After the fourth, you're like, can I cripple you? Amen? You see, Jesus has a different view on life. It's a Christian view. Look at the next verse. This is sweet. After he says this, verse 5, and the apostle saith unto him, Lord, increase our faith. The context of that is this, I'm not going to be able to do it without your help. Fourth reason why it's hard to forgive is because we don't really believe things are going to turn out good. Go back to Genesis 45. God bless you. Genesis 45. We really don't believe Romans 8:28. We like Romans 8:28 when things are going good. But that's not what the Bible says. We believe that it's going to turn out good when we've got lots of friends. And some of you have made some friends, and I pray some of you finish making all the friends you can this week. But listen to me. You think if you had 25 friends here, and you're walking along, strutting along, and every one of them are following you, you think, now God is on my side.
Yeah.
You know what? He's on your side when you're alone in a pit.
Yeah. Amen.
Are you listening? Look at this Bible. Genesis 45 in verse 4. Joseph said to his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. Look at this. For you sent me before you to preserve life, and you didn't know you were doing so good. That's not what he said. He said, God sent me.
Good.
Now watch. I want you to understand. Look at the end of verse 4. It says, I am Joseph, your brother, He did not say who God sold into Egypt. Watch it. Oh, this is rightly dividing the book, folks.
Yeah, amen. That's good.
You're getting something you're not going to get in a seminary.
Come on now.
Yes, sir.
Did those brothers sin against Joseph and sin against God? Yes or no?
Yeah. Yeah.
They sold him into slavery. They made a few bob out of it, and they got rid of their brother, and they will answer for it.
Yeah.
You listen to this. Very serious. Somebody who does wrong, they will answer to God. They will
amen.
Not answer to you. You listen to this. He says, you did sell me, but it wasn't you overall. You're not God. God in heaven. Use that situation. Look in verse 5. Now therefore, be not grieved, watch, and angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. He's saying there is something bigger going on than just you and me, brothers. There is something much bigger, and God's
Amen.
Trying to save some folks.
Yes.
God's
Amen.
Trying to deliver some folks.
Amen.
We don't really think that God is up there in control. That's the point.
Yes, right.
We don't think that God can take
Amen.
A heart-wrenching, life-defeating event in our life and make something good out of it.
Yeah.
But we're so stinking selfish, we think the whole world, universe should revolve around us.
Yeah.
We need 52 angels marching, protecting us everywhere we go,
yeah.
standing at guard, and everywhere we go that we feel so important. Sometimes we've got to get this thing in our head where, hey, I don't care how low I go, the Lord is lower, and He's carrying me somewhere.
Amen.
You may not get that, but I got it, and I've never been the same since then.
Amen.
Look in last one, chapter 50 and verse 15. We find it hard to forgive because you do have to forget. You do, and I want to tell you what I mean by this. You do have to forget. Chapter 50, verse 15. Watch this. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead. Now, it's been a passing of time. It's been like 20 years. I don't know. 50, I forget how long it is from the time that Jacob comes with his family down to Egypt. They settle in, and Joseph and his daddy are reunited, and the family's just growing, and things are doing great. And then, through the process of time, daddy Jacob dies. So, verse 15, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father, Jacob, was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us.
Good.
Now Joseph has never brought it up again.
Amen.
Their conscience has got them, man. They're terrified. Watch. They said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us. Now the word requite, somebody raise your hand, you'll get 100 points. You can give me a proper definition of requite, Ruth. Repay, 100 points. It has the more judicial, but I like the simple. To requite means to bring justice. He will certainly judge us. But repay is exact. It's fine enough. Requite us of all the evil which we did unto him. He's going to pay us back. Verse 16, and they sent a messenger unto Joseph. They couldn't even go talk themselves to him. They were terrified. They sent a messenger unto Joseph, and they lie. Watch it. Saying, Daddy did command before he died, saying, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren. They are terrified. They're asking Mary to intercede for them. Blessed
yeah.
John the Baptist, listen to me. They're trying to use Daddy's name to intercede for their sin, and it's wrong. Joseph's already forgiven. You got to understand, Joseph is the greatest type of Jesus Christ in your Bible, you can go right to him. You don't need daddy to pray for you. You don't need preacher to pray for you. You sin against God, I'll pray with you. But you can go straight to Joseph in type. You can go straight to Jesus in type. You understand? They're sending a messenger. They're using daddy's name. They're trying to bring all of this weight to try to force Joseph to stay forgiving of them. Do you understand? Are you with me?
Yeah.
And you don't have to do that. Watch. I can find where I left off. Verse 16. Let me read verse 17. So shall you say, this is what they said there, that daddy said, Jacob. So shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil. And I like that. They are acknowledging their sin, howbeit through their daddy. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, these are the brothers talking, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. Hold it. They are still asking for what?
Forgiveness.
It has been years since he said, I am Joseph, your brother! Woo! I'm so glad to see you!
Amen.
It's been years, and their heart is haunting right. them. Am I really forgiven?
Yes. That's yeah.
true. Now, when Daddy dies, their last vestige of faith in being protected from the wrath of Joseph has died because they really don't trust Joseph. Because they're looking at him like they look at themselves. If I were Joseph, I'd kill every one of them. But when Joseph on that throne said, I'm glad to see you, it's over with, God was in charge, I want you to understand. Joseph hadn't thought about it in 20 years. It was forgotten. Are you with me?
Yes.
Watch. Joseph wept when they spake unto him. Verse 18.
Amen.
And his brethren also went. They hear that he's weeping, so they rushed to him. And his brother also went, and they fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. Look what they're saying. We're your slaves. We sent you away into slavery. We're... Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee. I'm no more worthy to be thy son. I am only worthy to be your servant. You see how your Bible is true through and through?
Yeah.
It's interwoven amazingly. We'll take just the position of being a servant from here. I like that attitude. Amen. We be thy servants. Verse 19, and Joseph said unto them, fear not. You know, every time Jesus walked on the disciples, something was going on. And he would go, fear not, it is I. He loved those words. He comes to the upper room. He says, peace be unto you. Fear not. He's walking on the water. Fear not. It's me. Now listen. Joseph says these words. Fear not. For am I in the place of God. Look at me real quick. Joseph said something that you need to settle. Somebody hurts you. Are you God? Then vengeance belongs to him, not to you. Bitterness is none of your business. Evil speaking shouldn't once be named out of your lips. You listen to me. All that stuff needs to be just let go and forgive. You see, it's hard. Of course it's hard. Because you know what you got to do? You do have to put it away. You do. It may still be in there. They came up there and he didn't go, what are you talking about, huh?
That's right.
I don't remember. It's in there, but as far as he's concerned, he hasn't thought about it in however many years it has been. What am I saying? The reason why it's hard, because you do have to forget. Forgiveness means restoration. It starts in the heart where you are ready to forgive. And at the moment that somebody breaks and says, you know, I said something against you. I was talking to the twins. And I sat in there, and, you know, Tommy, I told the twins that you were the ugliest guy I've ever seen in my life. I still think you are. But I shouldn't have told them. You see, when you... I wish I could continue that thought. Anyway. Tommy needs to be ready to forgive. Amen? He said, you told them what? Listen to me. It would be nice if forgiving was easy, but it's usually not, because usually you still hurt. Because others are not worthy. It is hard because you will have to forgive again and again. Because we don't easily, and we really don't believe that God is working all things out for good. We think we have to step in there and make sure that guy never gets away with it. And because you do have to forgive. And you say, what does all that have to do with anything? Some of you maybe have a perfect life. Some of you may not be going through any trouble where you need to forgive anybody, which I highly doubt. There may be just things you sort of just forget about and you ignore. But it's created a root of bitterness inside of you. And if you ever been, some of you, I'd like to see some of you on a farm. If you ever try to pull up weeds or you pull up a grass root, you start to get into the roots. That root can go 15 feet long.
Yeah.
And you listen to me.
It's true.
And you think there's just a little bit of problem there on the outside, and you just come along and you cut it off every Sunday.
Yeah.
Amen? Preacher sort of cleans it off, doesn't really show. that attitude. But the roots go deeper and deeper and deeper. And it's been years since you've ever reached at that root and begin to pull it out and see just how deep some hurt that somebody did to you, somebody didn't let you do something, somebody said something to you, somebody took advantage of you, somebody used you, somebody ruined your life as far as you're concerned, and you start to rip that root, you need to look at just how hard it's going to be, but how possible it is to forgive. I'm going to say this, that root of bitterness is a cancer. It only grows. And it will ruin not only you, but everyone around you. Let's say a silent prayer.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. I want you to be honest with God. I want you to be honest. Nobody looking around. I see some eyes and I don't like it. Listen and you obey. I want you to take a few seconds now and start looking in your heart. Start doing some rummaging around like in an attic and say, wow, I didn't know that was there. My stinking attitude is because so-and-so. My stinking attitude is because of my mom. It's how my dad is. Just how life is. I just don't like life. Alright, good. If that is in your heart, I want you to put your hand up, put it down. If there is bitterness in your heart, amen, put it up, put it down. Amen? Amen? You say, there's stuff in me that has so affected and hardened my heart. Put it down now. Every eye bowed. Okay. Well, you and I are going to pray. Some of you are doing great. Amen. You didn't need to raise your hand. But this is an opportunity for you to admit to God, God, this is hard. And if you'd like God to help you forgive somebody who you never imagined ever forgiving. That doesn't mean you can go right up to them and say, I forgive you, everything is forgotten. I'm not telling you to do that. Somebody may have hurt you and they need to make it right. We do need to restore the relationship through a process. Don't misunderstand this. But in your heart of hearts, you're going to have to settle it. You're going to have to lay it aside. You're going to have to take it to the foot of the cross and crucify it. And you walk away free. Will you do that? With an uplifted hand, will you say, God, with this hand, I'm asking you to help me forgive somebody today. Put your hand up. If you can't, then I'll pray for you too. But say, Pastor, with this uplifted hand, I'm asking God to help me forgive somebody in my life. Amen. 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 All right, Father in heaven, you're the God of all flesh. You know what we deal with. What's amazing, you joined us. And you dealt with unforgiveness here. Never in your heart, but among so many others. You're nowhere but dust. We really find it hard to forgive some people, some things. Lord, we'd really like justice. We'd really like things to be fixed. But you know, as a Christian, I'd like a kind of justice that restores. I'd like a forgiveness that brings us and our enemies, us and our parents, us and our families, us and our pastors, us and the important people in our lives back together. Husbands, wives, this works with everywhere. Maybe we need to do some serious thinking about how hard it's going to be and yet how healed we will be if we can get at least ready to forgive and be blown away when God brings our offending party, the person who hurt us, right back in our face to say they're sorry. If God can deal with us first, He can deal with anybody. God, deal with us now. Especially these who raise their hand. There's a lot of bitterness. There's a lot of hurt. But that's the devil's work. Your work is forgiveness. Your work is restoration. Your work is a whole, a perfect heart. Enlarge our heart today. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.